Why can't it become a composting station? I know that's a long-term operation, but I still think that's something we can think about, separating that food waste from the trash and turning that that food waste into fertilizer, turning that food, that fertilizer into cash for the city. This is something that when I was a child growing up in Albany, we had the garbage man, and that's what he came and got, garbage that was sold to farmers and others that had use for that garbage. We need to go back to curbside, at least consider curbside composting.
Mayor Sheehan.
This is another strength of my administration. It started when I was treasurer, and I saw the cliff coming, and I have worked very hard to pull us back from that cliff and to now create a soft landing for when the landfill closes. So the debt now actually will be paid off before the landfill closes. It'll be paid off in 2020. That'll free up $5 million roughly for our budget. We've also extended the life of the landfill. So year after year, we've been able to take in less garbage so that we can extend the life of the landfill, and we're going to continue to do that. We've issued an RFP where we're asking about these very types of issues. What if we compost? What are the options and what are the opportunities that are out there with respect to our garbage moving forward? And we've also worked to streamline, and we're working to streamline our garbage pickup so that I can look at our residents and say, we're as effective and efficient as we possibly can be. And we're engaging the community in the decisions about what those future options are. We've had 4 public meetings. We're going to have many more.
Council member.
And one of the things that I've talked about as running for mayor, it's very important to me, is our future with waste management, that we have an affordable option here going forward for people in the city of Albany. And, of course, that RFP that was referenced that went out just 2 weeks ago is something that I would immediately pull back as mayor. Right? That is effectively going to allow for a transfer station in the middle of the pine bush on top of the landfill, and we will have trucks coming through the pine bush all day long, shipping in trash, shipping out trash. For me, that is something that's unacceptable. The first thing you have to do is look at diversion. There's countries around the world, take Italy for example, that achieve nearly 90% diversion. There's other municipalities in New York State that do so much better than us with a diversion programs. We can do what was referenced as reducing, reusing, recycling. That is something we need to look at first, not merely just throw our hands up and give away our waste management future to a private sector operator of a transfer station in the Pine Bush. And that's what we've done here. That's what we did just a few weeks ago with that RFP. It's something I would immediately reverse. We would really engage with the community and move forward with a real plan to divert much of our waste stream.
I will give the mayor, 30 seconds to respond to that.
That's just patently untrue. The RFP does not require us to do anything. And it does identify that we own property at the landfill, but it allows bidders to talk about all types of options associated with what we do with our solid waste management. And it is something that we are working with our consultants on. We want to make sure that we get those big ideas at the table. We want to ensure that we are looking at the what we can do to innovate, and when we get those responses, if we don't have that innovation, we're going to continue to look for that.
And now to our final round of questions, and just a note to my questioners, in order to keep the order we've had so far, the first question will be from Jay Jochnowitz for Councilmember Commisso.
Councilman, this is a question really about the tone of your campaign. So in your campaign, you've hit on some themes that sounded familiar to me. I heard you talk about major untruths and the trustworthiness of the mayor. I heard you talk about a story that the Times Union did earlier on parking tickets as a blatant hit job. And you criticized it as a report on paid tickets that were, in fact, paid after the reporter had been researching the piece. You talked about the rigged endorsement process earlier in the campaign, and you cited a memo last week that was a year old in talking about the budget. The only word I have for this is vaguely Trumpian, and I'm just wondering.
No.
I'm sorry. The word that comes to mind, this reminds me very much of the president's campaign last year. If I can finish my question.
Yeah, please allow the questioner to finish his question.
I'm wondering if you intentionally took a populist approach. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm wondering if you intentionally took
a populist... Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear the question, I'm afraid you've got to be quiet.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you intentionally took that approach or this is the nature of a populist campaign.
For me, I'm running for mayor of the city of Albany because there is major inequities in our city. Okay, that is not populism. It is not a brand associated with a party. For me, it is about providing economic and business justice to people that are, have been routinely left out. We have a city government that talks about equity, all types of equity, but we don't talk about economic equity in the city of Albany. We have people in the city that pay a huge portion of their property taxes, seniors on fixed incomes, that pay 30, 35%, many of them in the ward I now represent on the Common Council, and they need a level of justice done for them as well. They've been forgotten for years. And in fact, a big part of what I ran for was because just last year, there was a vote, and again, if the word is rigged, the word is rigged. There was a rigged vote as it relates to the Albany School District, where a vote was stolen over at Matter Christi. And again, now suddenly, that polling place is closing again, where you have many seniors on fixed incomes voting. And those are folks that are not working with me that have the power to close those stations. So, yes, if you call that populist, Jay, by all means. I'm not going to get into the labels of it, but there is a real message here. There are people that come into our city, and particularly during this administration, have come in, and they've robbed the city blind. It's been red light camera vendors. It's been people getting tax breaks in the city that pay no taxes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, you're taking away from your candidate's time to answer the question.
Contrary to whether, you call it a pilot, it's a reduction on tax payments. And nobody, there is no seniors in the city of Albany that get that treatment as well. So what I have talked about here over the course of this campaign is empowering people, rank and file taxpayers, rank and file workers in our city who I didn't even have a chance yet to mention, so they could have a voice in the workplace. And if that's populism, then so be it. I'm not going to entertain the labels one way or another.
Council President McLaughlin.
Mr. Commisso's method of running for office is his method of running for office. I know that as I've gone out and talked to people, people feel like they've lost hope. People feel like this is not a city that takes their needs into consideration. They feel like it's not people first, it's policy first. And whatever policy gets put in place, however it's going to work, doesn't matter if it's going to have a negative impact on me or not. There's a lot of despair in the city of Albany. And what I'm running on is to make sure people understand that somebody is going to hear what you have to say. Somebody's going to respond to you based on what you've said and make decisions based on what you said, not what I believe is a policy decision that is going to have a negative impact on you. That is why I'm running for office, so that people can feel like this is not a tale of two cities, that there is one city, one administration that is working on behalf of everybody in the city, whether you own a home or you don't, whether you live in a public housing or you live in your private home. I will be a voice for all neighborhoods.
Mayor Sheehan.
I've been running on my record, and I've been running a very positive campaign, and I've worked very hard to stay high and to focus on what I hear from our residents and what I hear from neighborhood to neighborhood of what people really care about. We have challenges. We have challenges in this city that are similar to the challenges that we have across the country. But if you look at the city of Albany, if you look at the way that we have invested taxpayer dollars over the last 3.5 years, and the fact that we have focused in communities where there has been no investment made, in some cases for decades, and listened to the residents of those neighborhoods to address their needs neighborhood by neighborhood. The focus that we've had on ensuring that as we move forward and as we invest our scarce city resources, that we're doing it in a way that takes into account all of the people in this city, whether they're seniors living on fixed incomes or whether they are people living in neighborhoods where we know that there are struggles being connected to jobs. And I'm going to continue to do that work and continue to move the city forward in a direction that has resulted in a reduction in unemployment, in the fact that we've narrowed the wage gap and that we have grown our tax base.
I do have to cut you off. And now, with a final question for Mayor Sheehan, Ian Pickus.
We'll drill down into an issue just mentioned a moment ago, and that's economic segregation, which has served to solidify unofficial borders between many of the city's neighborhoods. So specifically, what is your plan to improve affordable housing and economic mobility for all of the city's neighborhoods and not just the well-off ones?
We have to continue to focus on connecting people to jobs. We need to ensure that when we talk about the economic development of our neighborhoods, that we are creating jobs so that the families that live in our neighborhoods can afford to invest in and stay in our neighborhoods. And so when we look across the city and we have buildings that are vacant, we have buildings that are sitting there ready for reinvestment, and you ask yourself, why hasn't there been investment here? It's because we still need to ensure that we are working within our neighborhoods to create opportunity. And one of the biggest challenges that I hear from employers, and I talk to employers all the time, is that they can't find employees. And I know when I tell people in our neighborhoods that that's what employers are saying, they don't believe it. There is still a significant gap. And so that's why, as we've taken the $1.5 million that we received from the state as part of the governor's anti-poverty initiative, we are focusing our efforts on workforce development, because we need to ensure that our young people in particular have hope, that they recognize that there is opportunity available for them, and that when we connect them to that opportunity, that we can bridge that divide that exists in far too many of our neighborhoods. Decades of racist policies, decades of policies that are, to me, immoral, resulted in poverty being concentrated in areas of our city. And that didn't just happen in Albany. It happened across the country. But to undo that is going to take very purposeful effort, an acknowledgement of that, and a recognition that we have to ensure that we are working to build that direct relationship between our employers and people living in those neighborhoods.
Councilmember Commisso.
Well, you talk about economic segregation, and it's very real in Albany. And you can see it throughout the neighborhoods in Albany, that there are neighborhoods where you have tremendously high poverty and unemployment levels. Now, the mayor just referenced racist policies in place by past administrations some time ago. What I saw during this term was an effort to close a fire apparatus in the South End. I saw recreation programs that previously had been free of charge for children now became a charge model, similar to the suburbs. We lost a gang prevention, a truancy abatement program. And, of course, we instituted a trash fee specifically on the most vulnerable residents in our city. So, for me, when we talk about economic segregation, we have to get our priorities right as a government here in the city of Albany first. Since this is a primary, I can talk more in a partisan fashion, as a Democratic Party as well. There is no way we will grow our party when we continue to take folks that have either less income or less wealth, and we marginalize them. That's what we've done over the past 3.5 years, and I'm fighting to change that.
Council President.
We have to clean up our own house first. When you have individuals who come to you, say they've applied for 5-6 jobs in the city, they can't get a call back, they don't get an interview, then we have to, before we can go and look to local businesses or the county government or the state government to help us improve the job opportunities in our city, we have to get our own house in order. Because on a daily basis, I speak with people, individuals who have applied for multiple jobs and cannot get a job with the city of Albany. Now, if you have a city that is approaching over 50% black, brown, and beige people, and they represent maybe 12% of the workforce in the city of Albany, therein lies a big problem right there. And again, and then I believe that as the state capital, we need to be a clearinghouse for jobs that are being offered at every level, be it the county, the state, and even federal jobs. We have to use ourselves as a clearinghouse for getting people access to jobs and job training. And also, we need to make sure that the unions are involved in this process to give access to individuals in the community who the unions.
It's a big subject, but I do need to cut you off. But you have more time, Council President, because the next question is for you, and it comes from Elisa Streeter.
Oh, when we're looking at funding streams, Council President, you mentioned in the last debate and referred to in this debate SUNY Poly as a possible new revenue stream, something sorely needed to solve some of these problems, including infrastructure. Have you talked with SUNY Poly? If not, what are your plans?
I believe that this is a revenue stream that we have got to be engaged in. I know it's a over $20 billion operation that's operated as a nonprofit, but when you are allowing companies from around the world to pay you a fee to do research there, that to me, that's for profit. We need to make sure that we have conversations, and they should begin now. Yes, but as mayor, and even as mayor-elect, this is something that I would begin to have conversations about, because we need to get in the room. You need to understand that this is a win-win situation. It's not just about Albany getting and you not getting anything. Because here's an opportunity for us to ensure that some of those things that are putting us into debt, why can't they buy our police cars, our fire trucks? Help us to put together a long-term strategic plan on dealing with our infrastructure problems. These are things that they benefit from, as well as we as residents of the city of Albany. And I think this is a conversation that is long overdue. I don't care what the authorizing legislation said, that it was a nonprofit organization. When they separated from SUNY Albany and became SUNY Poly, I believe the door was opened right then for us to have this conversation about they sold us a bill of goods many years ago when they said this multi-billion-dollar operation was coming to Albany. You were going to get increased housing. You were going to get increased taxes. We built the roads so that these folks could, the 3,000 employees that work there, again, it's another raise your hand question, how many people do you know that work out there that live in the city of Albany? We built the roads so that they could come in and get out easy pass just about on Fuller Road. Now, I'm telling you, I believe that this is a conversation that they would be willing to have. But we have got to stop being so nice and say it's a nonprofit. We've got to demand that this conversation take place and have to have conversations with our legislators that represent us at the state legislature to get this conversation off the ground. There is no way that we can continue to take no for an answer.
Mayor Sheehan.
So it feels great to say, let's sue SUNY Poly. And I
didn't say sue SUNY Poly.
Well,
I did not say that.
Okay. Well, our Mr. Commisso has. So it feels good to say it. We've been working to develop a relationship with SUNY Poly. We've succeeded in getting $500,000 a year from Fuller Road Management. We also have a payment that they make with respect to the Kiernan Plaza building. And so it is about having a relationship, talking about needs, and finding ways to fill those needs. We also have a need for the city of Albany to get its fair share from the state and to stop having to beg, borrow, and steal, and insist that we are treated like every other city in New York State. That's where I focused my efforts. That's where we've had success. That's where I know we will continue to have success. And yes, we need to continue to engage with all of our not-for-profits, which I do. We just announced $100,000 from St. Peter's Hospital. That needs to continue. But
all right,
we have to deal with the reality.
Councilman Commisso.
I've talked about since the beginning of this campaign, when I announced March 9th, having an audit of all tax exemptions in the city of Albany. And that is very much needed, right? We have just instances from a discretionary basis, not hanging our hat on being a state capital, but we have many instances where we, by our discretion, have provided tax exemptions and there's been no accountability from folks at City Hall. It can start at 17 Chapel, right there, where you have many campaign contributors to the mayor's campaign who have received an illegal tax exemption over the past several years. It's a very valuable one. 27 Western is the mayor's landlord for her campaign. Of course, receiving an illegal tax exemption as well. There's no documentation to support this, and this is what goes on throughout the city. There's many more instances where an audit of exemptions would be helpful to us. We also need to achieve a fair share from New York State, and quite candidly, I think that I would be in a much better position to achieve that because the mayor has run a campaign on having allegedly a surplus now, which folks at the state level will no longer fund the city of Albany if Mayor Sheehan is reelected, because we've now stated we have a surplus.
Okay, I will give the mayor 30 seconds to respond to that one.
First of all, he's talking about a tax exemption and a treatment of a tax exemption that was a decision that was made in 2008 and 2009. Secondly, with respect to the city's surplus, we're expected to add to our fund balance. This does not mean that we no longer need our fair share from the state. The state understands that. We have opened our books to the state. We've had Standards and Poor's. We've had PFM. We've had a number of outside institutions talk about the sound fiscal management of my administration.
All right. Well, we have reached the end of question time and will now hear our candidates' 90-second closing statements. We drew straws to determine the order there as well. Councilman Camisso's campaign was 2 for 2, and he has elected to go last. Mayor Sheehan, your closing statement, if you please.
Well, again, I want to thank the Times Union and our moderators for this opportunity this evening to talk once again with our voters. You know, when I ran 4 years ago, we talked about a lot of things that we loved about the city of Albany. I met with people in neighborhoods all over the city. And this is a city that has incredible assets. We have people who live here because this is their home and it's their community and they love their community. And there are also things that they wanted to see changed about their community. And we have delivered on what we said that we would do. We said that we would make things fairer and more transparent, and we've rezoned the city so that you don't need to ask for special permission to do what you should be able to do in your neighborhood. We've worked to invest in our parks in neighborhoods where there hasn't been investment for years. And we've succeeded in investing in Arbor Hill Park, in Lincoln Park, and in parks throughout our city. We have worked to ensure that we can work together to make our budget fairer. Fairer for our residents by going to the state and saying, you have to stop treating taxpayers in the city of Albany like no other city in this state. And so that message and that hard work and what we have accomplished has moved our city forward, has allowed us to make a number of investments, and I want to continue to do that for 4 more years.
Council President.
Every citizen in the city of Albany has a right to expect, and as mayor, I will deliver a city that's in lead, a city that is built on shared prosperity, the environmental sustainability that is so important to all of us, and an efficient democratic government. What that means is we're going to be efficient with the funds that we do have and make sure that our dollars are working for us as hard as they are supposed to. We are not going to continue to give away the store. We are not going to continue to let people get away with not giving us the return that we have come to expect. I've been an advocate for over 20 years for all things Albany, and that has been based and steeped in the philosophy that people come first. And I believe that that is one of the things that separates me from the two candidates that are on either side of me. It's not about policy, and I would never put in a policy that does not take into consideration the impact that it has on the human being in the city of Albany. I bring over 30 years of experience in working with New York State government, and most of that time was spent in budget and finance. So I know my way around a dollar. I know how to chase to follow the money, and that is what we need to do in the city of Albany. Follow the money that not only comes from getting our fair share, but those hard-earned dollars that you as residents put into the city coffers. I will see you. I'm going to continue to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to respond to the residents of the city of Albany when making decisions on your behalf.
Councilman Camisso.
I ran for mayor because the city has a rapidly deteriorating fiscal health, and we need leaders in city government, mayor, other citywide positions, and common council members who recognize that and who are honest about that. Now, what has happened over the past several months is that the position of the city, the official position, has changed multiple times. We were going to close Tulip Fest just about 4 or 5 months ago. Then we achieved some newfound state monies. Then we came back now tonight, and apparently now we're minimizing the claim that we have a surplus. There is a very inconsistent leadership. What a leader does is you recognize challenges and then you start to direct the organization, you have the support of the organization, this being the City of Albany, to achieve outcomes. That's not happening here in the City of Albany. What is so sad tonight is we're talking about the same issues that we've talked about for elections prior. We talked about code enforcement. We talked about the finances of the city. We talked about the infrastructure of the city. These were all talked about in 2009, 2013, when my opponents ran for citywide offices. I've represented 1/15 of the city. Very proud of that voting record that I've put together over that time period. And I think we can represent many more people effectively in our city. There are people in these forgotten neighborhoods throughout town that have been systematically ignored by city government. They have no role in city government, and the policies of city government have made them pay more. I want to represent those people, seniors on fixed incomes and children, and I believe together we can do so much better in the city, and I would be honored to earn your support on September 12th to lead the city. Thank you.
All right. I would like to thank my timekeeper, Matt Hamilton, our questioners, Jay Jochnowitz, Elisa Streeter, and Ian Pickus. I would especially like to thank our candidates. In a democracy, putting yourself before your voters is key and important. I would like to thank our audience for coming out and caring as well. Please remember to vote in 2 weeks if you are a registered Democrat. At this time, I would invite our audience to please show their appreciation to all three of our candidates.